The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
I'm James, and this is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Oh, that's terrible.
Hi, it's James Whiteside, and you are on The Stage Right Side. I am here with American, American Dance Theater, American Human, Jamar Roberts, and we're going to, you know, chat and kiki for a little bit, and it is Golden Cockerel and Giselle week here at the Metropolitan Opera House, and I did Giselle on Monday with Isabella Boylston, and that was crazy because she injured her ankle in the beginning of second act, so she was literally weeping through the rest of the act. It was very effective, but, you know, dramatic. But she's doing okay. She's doing a lot of therapy, and her ankle is getting better. The swelling is down, and it looks like she'll be back for her next performance. So don't refund your tickets yet. She'll be back. But it was, I mean, Giselle is, I think, my favorite classical ballet role. Or not Giselle, but Albrecht for a man. But if I could do Giselle, I would. Maybe someday. And, yeah, I had a great time. And then tonight I actually danced The Astrologer in The Golden Cockerel, which is Alexei Ratmansky's ballet. My character is sort of a mysterious wizard-like character. I'm using all of my knowledge of Disney villains to imbue madness and magic into this strange character. So, all right, back to Jamar.
Hey.
So say hello, you know, do the thing.
Hello, I'm Jamar Roberts.
Wow, really good.
The American Human.
The American Human.
Dancer with Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater.
So he is also 900 feet tall.
Nine.
And I've got him sitting in my dressing room right now in the tiniest, like, baby chair.
It's very charming. Tiny chair.
Grandmother's rocking chair. Would you like knitting needles?
No, thanks.
No.
Been there, done that. Not much.
Do you know how to knit?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
My mom tried to teach me, and I was like, I hate this.
My grandma taught me originally. Tedium. I can't do it.
Let's see, what's the most repetitive thing I can do? Oh, wait, ballet. jokes. So, where are you from?
I'm from Miami, Florida.
Oh. Big family?
Pretty big. I mean, I don't see them all. I didn't grow up with them all, but big.
So, why didn't you grow up with them?
Because they're too damn big. Like, they were sort of spread out all over Miami. So the ones I saw, I saw. And the ones I didn't, I just kind of heard about through auntie or grandma.
Wow.
That was just it.
When did you start dancing?
I started dancing at 10 years old. You know, very informal, though. We were doing dancing to Miami. Miami Carey.
Who?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, Miami Carey. That's like the local drag queen.
Mariah Carey's Hero. You know that song?
Oh, of course.
We were like dancing to that in like tutus and like ballet shoes.
Same.
And stuff, so.
That is so. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
We should do that more. Thing.
I didn't get formal training until maybe, it was probably 12, maybe 2 years after that.
And how did you transition from dancing around in tutus to Miami Carey's Hero?
Miami Carey's Hero was the first thing. How did I transition? Oh, there was, this was, I don't know, maybe the beginning of middle school. I was in art at the time because I'm a visual artist.
Uh-huh.
And there was a school assembly. And we were doing a thing where all of the arts disciplines in the school, I went to magnet and arts schools from the time I was basically started until I graduated.
Cool.
So all the disciplines had to get together and do a Christmas performance. So like the artists, we did some like silly mural and went on stage with berets and like did our bow, whatever, and sat back down in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And theater did their little thing and then dance came out and they danced to, I'll never forget it, A Whole New World by Aladdin. And
yes.
Between like the haze and the fucking, what do you call those things? Rhinestones on those goddamn dresses. They were like a purpley blue color.
That sounds magical.
I was sold. And those those Hermé lyricals. Those things that lace up. From that moment on, I changed my major at school from art to dance without telling my parents.
Wow. Were they mad when they found out? Did they, like, call your parents and tell them?
Or? No. I didn't have very good parents, so they didn't know what I was doing or that I was even dancing for a very long time.
Wow.
I was just kind of like...
Oh, my gosh.
Myself.
That sounds wild. Yeah. Are your parents still together? Do you speak to them?
My dad's passed away. My mother is still alive. I do speak to her. She actually calls a little too much now.
Yeah.
All right. She's going to the Florida Keys this weekend by herself.
Well, that sounds civilized.
Mm. Not my part of town, but go girl.
All right. She still lives in Miami?
Yeah.
So how many siblings do you have then?
I have one, two... Like five total, but I grew up as a middle child, an older brother and a younger brother, so it's three boys.
So the kids are not all from your mother and your father, or are they all?
There is a half-sister that's from half my dad, half some other woman, and then there's another half-sister that's half my mother, half some other dude, and then another younger son, boy, male, that is like half my mother.
Human American male.
So yeah, they were like boinking around. Yeah. So no, the ones that are like full blood, I guess, I don't know, this sounds really weird.
Sounds like really Harry Potter scary, like
yeah,
mud blood.
We're the ones I grew up with.
All right. Yeah, my family's the same. Like I'm actually the only product of my mother and father.
Mm.
And then I have four older half. And then two younger half from, you know, various humans.
Yeah.
So none of them dance?
Nope. I'm the only dancer in the history of my...
Even, like, none of them did class with you when you were a kid?
What do you mean, like, dance class?
Yeah.
No. My brothers play football, basketball. They're really into those balls.
Balls. I like balls, too.
I was never good with the balls.
Well... It's never too late. So when you say you started formal training, was that ballet?
That was ballet, yeah. Wow. My first performance was a Nutcracker. I was Fritz? Nope. I wasn't Fritz. I was a Nutcracker Prince. I was too damn big to be Fritz.
Yeah. So you've always been a Sequoia?
I've always been a Sequoia.
That's kind of marvelous. I don't know.
I was actually very insecure about it. It took me a really long time to like get out of that. I mean, I would wear shirts that were too small for me and shoes that were just too small for like the longest time. I just thought smaller was better. I thought it just looked better. I was doing gymnastics for a while at the time, and all the short guys could just
flip around.
Yeah,
same
no problem.
I mean,
but I guess I'm over it. It's nothing I really think about now.
Well, do you have a choice?
No,
exactly.
I can't fix it.
There's nothing to fix. See, you wore small clothes because you thought it would, like, shrink you. And I just was like, I want to wear a crop top.
I was just in denial about, like, that shirt looks too big. I know I'm not that big. I cannot possibly be that big. So I think I'm this size of a strap, like, the smaller one. The same thing with shoes. Like, that shoe's too long. That's not me. I need a smaller shoe.
So wild.
Yeah.
Gosh, it must be hard to find high heels that fit.
Yeah, you just have bunions at the age of 12.
Do you have really bad bunions?
No, I don't at all, but can you imagine? That would be really funny.
I mean, bunions really are funny. Horrible because it rhymes with onions.
Mm. Onions are good.
Onions are good, actually. Especially
on burgers. Never alone. Who eats like,
I mean,
grilled
you can't
onion?
Just like chomp into an onion like an apple.
I'm sure somebody does it.
That sounds really like Ukrainian. I don't know. Dear Ukraine, do you eat onions like apples? So, explain your journey to ALE.
Oh my gosh. It's true.
I mean, or just like, you know, tell me something interesting. It doesn't really have
to be. That's
so.
The worst question. It's hard to do. My journey to ALE, what happened? I just kept dancing for the most part. I just did it because I loved it. And then I met an angel, literally a woman named Angel.
Uh-huh.
I was in high school at this time, still, you know, dancing. By this time, I was at New World School of the Arts, like a very prestigious, what do you call these things? Arts Conservatory in Miami. And I would dance there, and after school, I would go and train with Angel, who was trained by Mia Michaels. And so we did, like, fucking everything at that studio. We were doing the jazz and the hip hop.
Hold, please.
Okay, we're back. I just got a phone call from the artistic coordinator, and it appears that the lead ballerina for this evening, Cassandra Teneri, has a severe neck spasm and may not be able to perform tonight. So if that is the case, then I will have a rehearsal, an emergency rehearsal, they call it, with the alternate cast, which is Skylar Brandt, for the role of the cockerel. So it's really never a dull moment. And as you can hear, we have, like, regular telephones in our dressing rooms. Like, telephones. Isn't that amazing?
The landline.
It has, like, a coily cord.
Coily cord.
It's really good. And it really looks like Batman should be picking it up or something, you know, like...
50s.
Yeah.
It looks pretty dated.
So, yeah, that's happening. And we'll, you know, I'll keep you posted. So what time is it now? 4:10. All right, we're good.
I met an angel.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I'm going to meet an angel.
I did. So
are you still tight with Angel?
Yeah, I am. She basically became like my mother in a huge sense, because my actual mom was like out, I don't know, doing the shuffle or whatever she did at the bedtime. So, I mean, Angel basically taught me like how to dance, like in the real true sense, like how to dance from a place that is gonna be effective and that's gonna communicate from, like, you know, from the depths of your fucking life. So I'm really grateful to her for that. Everything before that was just kind of technicality. And then one of my professors at school said, I don't know, you want to go to ALEI? And I was like, okay. I mean, at that time I had seen the company once or twice, and, you know, I shed my little tear after Revelations, whatever, and I was like, yeah, I want to do that. And then after that night, I kind of, like, forgot about it. So I knew what it was, but, like, it didn't have, like, a lasting effect on me. So when he asked me if it's something I wanted to do, I said sure, because he was friends with one of the directors, Sylvia Waters, who was the director of ALEI 2 at the time. He called her up. I went up there with, like, no money. Small place to stay. As a technicality, you have to be in ALEI school in order to be in ALEI 2. So I did the school eventually for 2 weeks. And then I went on tour with ALEI 2, and that was just wild.
Can you explain to me, like, I don't know, like, studio company here used to be essentially its own entity. Like, it used to tour and all that stuff. Is ALEI 2 like that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty much their own thing. I think it's like that more so now than it used to be when I was there. Yeah, we didn't go to Europe when I was there. Now they do. They go everywhere.
That's so rude.
Yeah.
Can't believe they didn't bring
it. Rep is hot, too, sometimes. Yeah. Pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah. What sort of rep did you do when you were in ALEI 2? Like, what was your introduction to ALEI?
My introduction was... oh, my gosh, what were we doing? Scott Rank. Do you know Scott Rank? Set a piece that year. Darrell Graham Moultrie's Juilliard grad set a piece that year.
So it's mostly pretty contemporary work.
Yeah, and then there were, like, some pretty solid, like, ALEI staples. Revelations, of course, and then we
Warning
were
doing... Warning on the flying, and the end, and the scene change. We're in this until 4:55.
That's my buddy Jen McGrath.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah, we're, like, so tight. I love that girl.
She's so wonderful. She is honestly one of the most patient stage managers I've ever worked with.
She's a really good person.
It's like herding cats with us, you know, and I really just bless them, like... All the stage managers are so nice here. Danielle and Jeremiah. And, I mean, the whole crew is really exceptional.
She loves this job. I see her every now and then. Where were we? What was I saying?
So, were you prepared to be doing that, like, classic ALEI rep? Or, like, I don't understand.
I wasn't
how you
at
just
all.
Are you, like, it takes a long time to be good at it, right?
I got there and I danced it like I was on So You Think You Can Dance, basically. Yeah. I danced it like a competition piece. And I had done tons of competition work before that. Work? Is it even work? But anyway.
Competition work. Meaning I worked it at the competition.
Yeah, I'd done a lot before then. And that's basically like they give you 3 minutes to go for broke.
Yeah.
You know, within each piece, you don't really get any longer than like 5, maybe if you're in a production.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically, that was like the quality of my dancing. It was like, bam, 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 bam. Everything was just killer. Definitely wasn't prepared for that. Didn't know anything about pacing myself. Didn't know anything about
anything, really. I learned it all there. I mean, yeah. I've been in the company now for, this is my 14th season.
So how old are you? You must be 31?
34.
You're 34?
Yeah.
Shit.
Just dusty. The dust is flying off with each step.
I got it. I do. I really get it.
Yeah. But no, I wasn't prepared at all.
But so much heart comes with 34, you know?
Yeah, you definitely care more.
Yeah.
Even when you don't want to.
Well, I found it becomes easier to find like where the important things lie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're easily accessible or easily accessible for sure.
Just things end up making more sense,
yeah.
You know, especially with revisits. You know, like you do say, speaking of revelations, you know, like. I would imagine that it takes a long time to really, like, find your voice in that ballet. Or
right.
In that two-color ballet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, whenever I see that ballet, it's just, like, it really is classic, truly.
Yeah.
Do you ever, I mean, it's old. Do you ever feel like it's super dated and you don't want to do it anymore? You can get real. It's fine.
No. I don't feel that it's super dated. There's actually nothing about that piece that feels dated to me. Even like the gospel music, for example, in the way that it's sung. I mean, you can sing a song. They could have very easily have sang it like it was in some like church shack, you know, like with no instruments. You know what I mean? That could have been the actual interpretation, but I think that there's a classicalism in the way that they sing the music. So to me, that I don't know, it makes it feel more contemporary or more modern.
Huh.
But the only thing that actually feels dated are those costumes, like those the wool, like those pants are like real hot.
The fabric.
No, I actually never get tired of dancing it. I've done several different parts. Like when you first get in, you're just like the guy that holds the pole.
Yeah.
You'll do center man, but as you continue to stay in the company, they give you other things. So you're actually having to take those things and like explore them. And then you do that a million times. Mm-hmm. And then you get another part, you do that a million times. But just being given new roles and having to do the work on them, I think constantly keeps it fresh. Like there's one part that I can't really do right now because I have a hip issue. So they've given me another part.
What's wrong with your hip?
Do you really want to know what's wrong with my hip?
I do.
It's pretty busted. I have arthritis, a labral tear, and some bone spurs.
So all of it?
All the things.
Wow. So how to fix?
I don't know. I'm still figuring that out.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not bad, actually.
So can you, like, do
until
everything?
It is.
It's just painful?
No, I can't really do everything. Actually, I could. It'll just be really painful. So some things, I just kind of, like, feel it out, I guess. Depending
a lot
on
of
where
face
it is
for those movements.
It's just like, But, yeah, I've just been given, like, another part. Well, I've done it before, but I kind of do, like, wait in the water, for example, a little bit more than I used to do with I want to be ready just because there's a lot of like leg extensions and like rotation and things going on. But I didn't really like wade in the water. It just wasn't really my favorite. It just wasn't my jam. It just wasn't. So now I'm having to get over that and try and discover something that I can really enjoy in it because I'm
how to
gonna
live
be doing it for
and
a while.
Yeah. That's really interesting. It's so hard to find. Like, that happens. That's reality. You end up in a role and you're like, I hate this. You know, and you're like, how do I make this not only worth my while artistically, but to like do it justice, because you know you're trying to respect the work and all that jazz.
Honestly, I think I can say that about being in the company as a whole. I like I said, I came from a competition background, so when I first got there, that's what I was expecting to do. That's what I was expecting to get from it. It was the same type of rush of doing that 5, 6, 7, 8 shawam, whack, bam, ha, ka-cha.
Which is
finish.
Very fun.
Yeah.
That is major fun right there.
Yeah, so I've had to make huge adjustments in my expectations of the work that's been given to me and of myself, and I've just had to, like, really
find my way. Like, how can I still be that person,
yeah. You
know, and bring all of that to the work that I do, but at the same time have respect for the work that I do and for the founder, and just sort of, like, you know, synergize everything.
Yeah. So is there a ballet that you do that you feel most brings out your latent competitionness?
Probably all of Robert Battle's pieces.
Yeah.
Because they all get to a point where you're, like, thrashing at some point.
Well, I mean, it's at a time, too. You know, like,
yeah. It
was a real moment.
Yeah. And, like, physically, it's strange because he has this work that, in itself, it's not like... Remember, like, in competitions, I don't know if you remember, but there was... It's almost like they would choreograph a motion, like... There was, like, this neck rub thing that would always go on. He kind of, like, has this movement that does none of that. It's literally, like, let's say you take about 8 steps, and you do, let's say, arm, leg, leg, plié, kick, kick. Uh-huh. That's about 8, right? And they're dry in their essence. Like, there's no emotion behind them, but he'll have you do them maybe, like, about 4 times over really, really fast, to the point where you've worked up a certain type of...
Yeah. Feeling.
Feeling. Yeah. And he just fucking does that shit for, like, 15, 20 minutes within, like, a piece. So, in that sense, it reminds me of competition dance.
Because you're forcing yourself to get somewhere by repeating the same thing.
Yeah, and it's, like, most of the time it's really fast and it's really aggressive. Huh. And it's almost like your body taps out for a little bit, yeah. And, like, other things start to come into play because you have to, complete the task.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, when I think about it, but in the moment,
oh my god, I need a drink.
I don't even know if that made any sense.
I mean, it sort of does. I mean, it's sense. This is going to sound very rude. It's like in torture, you know, like how...
That's actually how I describe the
repetition, like, of some forms of torture can bring up, like, very, very strange reactions and mm-hmm. very emotional responses from the torturees.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like dance in general has that sort of effect on, especially,
it's true.
I don't know, myself. That's how I feel a lot of the time. When you're... I'm especially on stage because there's such, like, a huge mix of things going on, adrenaline and, you know, new experience with lights and costume and just the extreme desire to be good. I find myself often surprised by my own emotions. I'm like, what the hell? Who is she? So you choreograph as well.
I do.
Can you explain to me how you got into that? Or, like, have you been choreographing in your bedroom since you were, like, 4? Or
I did do some choreography to some of the instrumentals of Aladdin.
Yeah.
The Disney's Aladdin soundtrack.
Oh my god, that's
It was
amazing.
Like Arabian something they called it.
Arabian.
No, it was instrumental. It was like ching, ding, ding. It was just like chimes and shit. I did some of that in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But, I was, like, in the studio making work on dancers when I was, like, probably, like, 15, 14 years old. My angel allowed me to do that. Like, if she didn't want to teach or if I expressed any interest in, like, making a dance, she would be like, okay, go ahead, do it. And so I've hashed out. So I've done so much bad shit, like, so much shit in between that point and now. Which I'm really grateful for because I don't want to be doing that at this point. Like, doing pieces to Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, please. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I've like, made up a dance to, like, Bye 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 by NSYNC, you know? Like, I have my numbers, too. Trust me.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be ashamed about. I think it's really productive, you know?
Well, it was at the time, but now I would be ashamed.
Mortified, yeah.
Completely.
Well, glad it's in the past, then.
Yeah, me too. And then after that, I think she just sort of encouraged creativity all the time. It was just something that I brought here with me. And I'd just be in the back of the studio during rehearsal if I wasn't being used, just rolling around on the floor and making phrases and stuff. And I've quit the company several times, uh-huh. like twice in a row. And during those times, I mean, I've taken definitely
there for a year both times. And in both those years, I just made a bunch of work on anything and everybody and any music I could possibly find every single day for hours and hours and hours. And I came up with something. I came up with like some type of, I guess I would say, choreographic voice, but that sounds so pretentious to me or something. But
well, I don't, I mean,
that's what they call it. That's what we will call it.
It's your, you know, your thing, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't really need to have a name because the movement itself is your voice.
That's
barf.
Voice.
Barf, barfity, barfington. So, I just got the phone call on the phone that is a real phone. And it'll be me and Skylar tonight. Wow. So we have our emergency rehearsal soon. It's going to be killer. So we're going to talk about dance because we keep talking about food and I just remembered that this is a dance podcast, allegedly. So what do you like most about dance? Just, you don't have to answer that. That's the worst. So choreography aside, what sort of like dancing do you find moves you the most? Like, I don't know, like when you're performing or I don't know, what do you find the most important thing?
To, I think when I'm allowed to step into a different character or something that is different from me,
So you should be an ABT.
Yeah, I enjoy those a lot. We actually don't get a lot of those at Ailey these days. When we do, I'm just like balls to the wall, like full out.
Yeah.
Like so much so to where, like, I could give two shits if this step was right or wrong. So, yeah, I really enjoy those. I wish I could do more of that, actually.
Is there one in particular that really you live for?
Yeah, it's called Masakela Langage. It's choreographed by Alvin Ailey way back in...
Masakela Jababa Jababa.
Yes, Masakela Nagraba. Just open your mouth.
I'm not familiar with that one.
We just did it, actually, at, what is it, City Center? It's past City Center? Yeah, it's great. I just get to be a really mad guy in, like, a suit, and, like, a three-piece suit, basically. I'm on stage in the fucking three-piece suit. I get into a fight with this other guy where he, like, grabs me by my neck and throws me across the stage.
Sounds fun.
I get to smoke cigarettes. I get to...
Real cigarettes?
Yeah, there's all these props in the back. No, they're fake. All these props in the back, there's cigarettes, there's cards, there's machetes. I just like being immersed in, like, a character and that character's world in terms of, like, setting.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
It's fun.
I love a character. I think it's really important to be able to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Especially, both of our companies have the word theater.
They do.
In their titles, so I think it's important for us to be able to at least try, you know.
Yeah, we should have more people making theater and dance.
Yeah,
theater.
We should. It's just, I think it's...
It's like being a comic book artist. It's like you have to know how to draw and also write a story and sort of illustrate that in a way that...
That's why we need to do Spider-Man the Ballet. JK. Actually,
who would I be in Spider-Man the Ballet? I'd be
Mary Jane.
No, I would be. What's
say with me?
I would be. Never mind. It's fine because there's so many characters. Like,
yeah,
how could
gosh.
I would be the guy saying on the corner while the town is being like.
Gosh,
insurance.
I mean, I guess it would be fun to be Spider-Man just because you could like fly around a lot. But as a character, he's not really that endearing.
He's not. He's tortured soul.
Like, the nicest ones are the, like, uncle and the aunt. They're the nicest ones.
Yeah, the ones that took care of
them. Yeah, you really feel for them the most. And they're always in danger.
That's
you
true.
In danger, girl.
Molly.
I really like Dr. Octopus. You know, he has, like, a fierce outfit and, like, a weird bowl haircut. And he has, like, metal arms and
such.
Was
that Willem? No, Willem Dafoe was that.
Green Goblin,
yeah. I don't think
he was good. I like
him. Off the topic again.
Yeah, ballet.
That's cool, though. That's cool. We can be off.
Well, I think
several times.
It's more fun this way, trust me. So, Spider-Man the Ballet. You know, I think people don't make these theater dance creations as often as sort of one-off contempo wempo moments because it's more of a risk.
It's risky. And then there are things that have become more scarce these days, like time and space.
Money. It's easier to do a leotard ballet. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. And twirl.
I can twirl, though. You can twirl, I'm sure. You know, like, we can do chaînés across the stage in the leotard, and people will go. Mm-hmm. But you that'll put suffice. Someone in like Game of Thrones regalia and try and tell a story, and people are like, "I don't get it." It's pretty sad.
It's true. I guess you'd have to be very skilled.
One of my favorite ballets. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It might be my favorite ballet of all time. Is A Month in the Country by A Month in the Country.
There's a ballet called A Month in the Country.
Isn't that major? It's so beautiful. It's like just it's a play. Uh-huh. It's a straight up play.
Who choreographed this?
Frederick Ashton. This queen really knew what he was doing. Let me tell you, like, I am such an Ashton queen. And the whole thing is just like, you know, affairs and just weird characters, and they're all in beautiful, beautiful clothes, and the set is very insular, and it's like, it really feels like a play, but there's some beautiful dancing, there's a young boy who has a really, really hard dance with a bouncy ball, and you're like, that's stupid, but then you watch it, and you're like, that was amazing, he nailed it, and I saw Julie Kent do this ballet, like, a couple years ago, and I was just, I was literally just gagging.
In the Country.
You have to see it live.
Starring Meryl Streep.
I mean, if A Month in the Country was a movie, it would be starring Meryl Streep and like Anthony Hopkins and like who else? Fantasy casting.
All the good ones.
So definitely check that out. Do you guys have like a ballet that reads like a play? Is it like the one you just mentioned? Ha Shaba Da Ba Da?
That one.
What's it called again?
Hakuna Matata doesn't quite read like a play.
What a wonderful phrase. What's it called?
Masake La Langage.
Masake La Langage.
Yes.
Same.
No, not so much like a play, but I'm trying to think, too. Not that I can think of, but I'm definitely not one to... Very nostalgic.
Mm, yeah, so I feel you.
In there.
I remember really useless things, which is okay.
Yeah.
So, on this podcast, we play a game called Hidge or Not Hidge. And
Hidge?
Yeah, Hidge.
What does it mean to hidge?
It's not a verb. It's an adjective.
Okay.
And hidge is like, if you're British, something's, that's hideous, you know, like hideous.
Oh, hideous.
And like, that's hideous. Oh no, she won't.
I got it. So hidge is
just like the shortened version. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just prattle off some things that may or may not be hidge to you. So hidge or not hidge? Protein powder.
Hidge.
Hidge?
Hidge.
Why?
It's clumpy?
Yeah.
I don't like the texture.
Okay, but do you believe in its effects? Do you find it to be toxic?
I don't, and I can't even really say it. I've never drank any protein powder ever.
And so how do you look so, like, you know, like you've been using protein powder since you were 11?
I came out of my mama like this. Literally, just...
Just forever beefcake?
Just like...
Well, that is really wonderful for you.
Yeah. I don't know about protein powder.
No protein
powder. So hidge.
You heard it first. All right. Hidge or not hidge? Spider-Man.
Not hidge.
Not hidge. Yeah, I agree.
Of all superheroes.
Do you have a favorite superhero? Villain, for that matter?
The Power Rangers.
Just as a group?
The entire group.
Did you see the new movie?
I didn't. I'm just waiting for it to come on Netflix. Yeah. I couldn't really bring myself to pay money for it.
I want to see it, too. I didn't like Power Rangers when I was a kid, but I feel like I would really appreciate it.
I was obsessed with them. Yeah. I tried to save... I remember me and some of my cousins got attacked by some kids at the park. When I say attacked, I don't mean with weapons, but like they definitely tried to beat us up.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into Power Ranger mode, and I saved us all.
I said, you go under the fence. You come with me.
That's amazing. That's so ridiculous.
Did you have to, like, go, like, leg sweep, uppercut, or anything, you know?
No, I just like, basically gave them all these, like, exit strategies. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of, like, met up at home.
That's so good. Like, full-on Secret Service moment.
Yeah.
All right. Hidge. Hidge or not Hidge? Sansha ballet shoes.
Hidge.
Yeah, I know. That is so...
Sorry, Sansha.
I know. Yeah, if Sansha, if you're listening, is Sansha just like a young woman? I feel like Sansha is just like a 15-year-old, like, hustler, like, really trying to get her life.
Hilarious.
Sansha.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the inside of those shoes.
Yeah, they're really lumpy. Almost as lumpy as the protein powder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry, Sansha. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus like that. I wore you. I did.
Yeah.
I did. I really did. However, you have my favorite dance belts, Sansha.
Yeah, I was just going to mention there are other things.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. So we're not completely rude on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You try one.
Oh, my gosh. Hidge or not Hidge? Why would I say that? Adele?
Adele Hidge.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really. I don't care for Adele.
I like you.
I just can't get into it.
Not that I think she's terrible, but...
And it's not because I think it's interesting to not like her. It's just, I like maybe three of her songs.
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, I'm just like, it's fine. I much prefer like an Ariana Grande or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
Give me a bop, like a pop bop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Hidge. Did you hear that, Adele? I know you're listening.
Mm.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, guys, it's time to wrap up the Stage Right Side James Whiteside and Jamar Roberts.
Well, this has been great. I've had a really good time.
This is my favorite because I get to learn about people I don't work with, and this is wonderful. Learning is super cool, especially if you're, like, in school, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, go to school and stuff? Like,
I went to school for fashion design for a spell, and it was boring.
Yeah, totally. I didn't try. Someday, maybe.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Think you're good.
It's so crazy. School. Can you imagine all that debt?
Yeah. And all those boring lectures. I had to sit through lectures on how to make a fabulous pocket or, like, flare skirt.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to tear my eyes off.
Yeah. You should make a fabulous skirt of fabulous pockets.
With flares.
And all the flares. Flared pockets, flared skirts.
Yeah, that's about all the school I did.
Well, did you hear that, kids? You don't have to go to school.
School ain't cool.
Look at the
good we do. Until you need it.
Teaching everyone what's up. All right, thank you so much, Jamara. It's
You're
been
welcome,
a pleasure.
James.
Do you have any, like, internet things that people can follow you at?
I have a strange blog called Gibberish. It's like gibberishdance.tumblr or something.
Gibberishdance.tumblr.
All right. Tumblr.com.
Tumblr.com.
It's just me, like, flubbing around the studio.
Okay.
So, with, like, weirdly edited videos.
All right.
You'll love it.
You're going to love it. It's so good. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll let you know. I'll put it on my blog. Just kidding. I don't have one. And you can follow me at James B. Whiteside on, you know, just everything. Just Google me. So rude. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Stage Right Side. Until next week. Mwah. Kisses.